Ready to have your ears bleed a little bit? Right. So how does this really work? Well, authoritatively, you know, if you go at the very top level, you've got the Secretary of Defense, right, in the DepSecDef, and then you have the three secretariats, Department of the Air Force, Department of the Navy, Department of the Army, and then underneath them, they each have a chief of staff, right? So the chief of staff of the Army, the chief of Naval Operations, Commandant of the Marine Corps, chief of Space Operations, chief of staff of the Air Force, and then you actually have all the forces below them, okay? Those are separate from the combatant commands, right? So on one side, you organize, train, and equip. Okay, so at the secretariat level, that's where all the program executive offices are, right? Program executive offices buy stuff. That is the equip, right? And then in the major commands, you have the organizing, right? You actually put people, U.S. citizens in uniform, right, sworn in, into organizational structure. So your 18th Airborne Corps, your different fighter wings, your different Navy ships. Right, you actually put them there, and you have to train them, obviously. So each of those groups have their own training organizations, and so underneath those chiefs of staff, underneath those each service organizations, you organize, train, and equip. You build them into quote force structure, and then based on the priorities of the national defense strategy, national security strategy, the military plans and operational requirements, then you start allocating those forces. So there's this whole global force management process, GIFMIG, where, you know, there's priorities of national interest, national security strategy, you know, combined plans, national military strategy. All that filters down into the military planning and execution process. And really all that means is like, look, there's only so many people in the military. There's only so many boats. There's only so many planes, right? There are multiple combatant commands. Let's be fair. The different combatant commands are not created equal. There's priorities, right? You can kind of guess what the biggest priorities are right now. And so based off of what those combatant commands have issues with, right, what their current mission requirements are, they all ask for forces, right? There's a request for forces from the combatant commands to the services. Services then kind of do their rack and stack and their prioritization process, and then they put their forces, right, the different people they have on these like deployment cycles, right? So you know how many, you know, wings and brigades and fleets are being allocated to different geographies at any given time. And there's a whole process and timeline, right? You can only have people deployed for so long and away from their families. It's a really complicated process. A lot of people inside the Pentagon doing all this work. Fantastic. At the end of the day, the COCOMs actually fight the wars, right? It's great. But they don't buy stuff. COCOMs have a lot of needs, right? They have all these people, right? They're actually fighting the wars. They have the command authority to go do stuff. So at a very tangible, very far forward at the edge level, they have the most tangible need, right? They are the ones on the very front lines. The military personnel that are assigned to them are on the frontest of the front lines, right? Those are the folks who are actually touching the problems. But COCOMs don't get really budgets for buying stuff. That's not their job because they are not organizing, training, and equipping, right? That is the services that do that. And so the COCOMs have to express their operational needs to the services. And they don't say like, hey, we need tanks, right? They don't get to say, you know, we really want more jammers, right? They express their needs in, we need military, you know, we need ground forces that are able to counter ID threats or drone threats, right? They have to express in terms of the capabilities that they need, the type of personnel that they need, because it is up to the services. It is the services' prerogative to organize, train, and equip their forces as they see fit to satisfy the operational needs of the combatant commands. Combatant commands can obviously have a great influence and a great direction, right? Indo-PACOM right now is putting a lot of weight behind a lot of different operational capabilities. But at the end of the day, the services are the ones that have to buy the stuff, give it to people, and train those people on how to use it.